saving money in your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! What up, H-Town? How we all doing? It's The Usual Suspects on a Thursday, as it's Nick, Joel, and what are you, ICB?
ICB.
Charlie called Barry ICB.
Who's ICB?
Barry.
Okay.
Not the letters I and then C and then B. More like, well, first he called me Ice B, not ICB. Because ICB. You doubled down and made it ICB.
Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
That's... All right, stop. So, ICB's
Charlie,
here.
I walk in because I'm wearing this hat because it's cold as hell, and Charlie goes, "What's up, Ice B?" I was like, "All right, Charlie, I got 3 hours of that. I don't need."
He made that comment wearing that sweater?
Yes. And I said, "Was that the knockoff Coogee they called Bougie?" And he's like, I think they call it a cable sweater.
What is Coogee?
Coogee are the Cosby sweaters and the Ditka sweaters that they used to wear back in the day.
Oh,
the really brightly colored. Like cable type sweaters.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that was more
that
of a dialed down version.
I just
of
called
it.
Them Cosby sweaters.
Yeah. Well, there was a name for them.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he basically said, no, it wasn't. It wasn't bright enough, but it was definitely a cable
sweater. It was a fancy sweater Charlie had on. It's always a treat to see what Charlie's going to be wearing. Always a treat.
There's Where's Waldo and What's Charlie Wearing? Is that what
yep.
you're saying?
I highly recommend the Twitch feed when Charlie's
always
on radio.
Ugly Christmas sweater season with Charlie.
All
now, did he
long.
Not it's take not you up on your deal? Because I know it was discussed.
Well, tell people what the deal was.
Well, he did already. You've said it before, but you were going to take Charlie shopping.
You know, there could be brand new listeners out there.
I don't know if he's going to take that deal.
Why are you making that face? I'm just trying to help.
Can you bring some heat to ICB over here?
ICB, and just, yeah.
Yeah, and just tell them what the deal
both
is.
Both you sons of bitches are not going to be calling me ICB all
Oh, now
show.
We are. Hey, so you did, and you have explained it in the past. You offered to take Charlie shopping to what?
Bills, $200.
$200 at H&M?
H&M. But he has to get, like, all the modern stuff. The
skinny jeans.
The slim fit. I'll let the skinny jeans thing pass. But if he gets, like, the slim jeans.
Everything.
The new modern sweater, like, suits.
Yeah.
If he's going to wear like a sweater, it cannot be that.
Like a fighter pilot jacket?
I feel like he has 5 undershirts in that sweater. It's so puffy. It looks like it's like this. Like, doesn't it look like it's probably 4 or 5 inches away from his chest?
No, I didn't think so.
Like the outside
it looks like
of his sweater.
He could put his backpack on and then put his sweater on and still have room. Like it wouldn't be stretched at all. It was baggy.
Sorry. I just noticed that he was going sweater with wind pants.
You know what? Y'all are mean to Charlie.
I haven't said one word other than that, but since you guys were having a field day, I just noticed on the way out that he went, nice sweater, wind pants.
That was 2 days ago.
Not today.
Yeah, just now.
He just left.
What are those sweats?
Get Charlie a tracksuit.
The sweats that he was wearing that or the those, I don't know what they're called.
Wind pants.
They make noise when you
they're
walk.
Wind pants.
He's wearing them again?
That's what I just said, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, dude, how do you keep your clothes in that good condition all these years?
Hefty bags. Keeps the air out. Keeps the air
dude,
out.
Dude, I wore those pants in 94. Like, legit.
Wind pants.
They
I
do
actually,
not manufacture those pants.
I asked Nora for a tracksuit for Christmas. It's back.
No.
Yeah.
You can get a brand new pair of those.
Yeah, you were busting my chops on that, and
it was a North Carolina short.
Joel's wearing his tracksuit today.
Nope, I'm not. You can call it a tracksuit. It's like a sweatsuit.
Oh. Well,
do you think those pants that he's wearing are not old?
Wind pants?
Who, Charlie's?
Yeah.
Well, the kicker is he wears the one with the elastic at the ankles. And that's kind of...
Those were made in the 90s, man.
That ship has sailed.
That's so messed up.
That ship has sailed. I didn't even notice that. Yeah. When they have the little kind of like bungee cord.
You guys are being so mean to my buddy.
Why do you keep saying that? Who cares?
The only thing I'll say is that he does wear those Nike dad shoes. He absolutely has those Nike dad shoes. The mall walkers? I don't know what they're called, but Nike makes a specific shoe for dads, and Charlie wears them.
Well, he upgraded, though, because they used to be Skecher brand, and now they're Nikes.
Well, there you go. So you know what's weird is Nike put those out, and kids wear them now. Like, they're fashionable.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, don't they have to have a roller skate on the back heel?
No.
No?
I mean, I say kids. I mean 20-somethings.
Flashy lights on it on the side?
Because they're buying these stupid-ass Yeezys that look
they're terrible, the worst. Yeah, they're
These bulky tennis shoes are in.
Wait.
I can't do it. I try to stay current with my fashion. I can't do those bulky tennis shoes.
Did you see his new slip-on?
Yeah. It looks like a bike helmet.
Well, there's no laces or anything. It's like a combination between a croc and a tennis shoe.
Oh, it's a croc, all right.
Yeah.
But it looks like if you've ever bought a bike helmet to wear to go biking, yeah. It looks like that just turned upside down and you just wear it on your feet. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Kanye's got some crazy stuff out there.
I've had a hell of a 12 hours, fellas.
Why?
Well, first of all, I got into a wreck this morning. Not a bad wreck. Just a fender bender more than a wreck.
The white horse is damaged?
No. There was no damage to my car, no damage to her car, but I was at the Chick-fil-A by the house. You're pulling out under the feeder.
Yeah.
And I'm behind her. There's a stop sign to get on the feeder. And as she takes off, I'm seeing the cars coming and she's turning. I'm like, all right, cool, we're going. My turn next. I go to pull up. Well, she stops. Because the car, I guess, was switching lanes, and she thought they were going to hit her. So she just, as she's pulling out, she just stops. And, you know, me, I'm pulling up to be the next person in line. So I'm looking at the traffic because I saw her start to take off. So my next spot is to look at the traffic. I look up. She's still there. Boom. I was like, oh, my God. And it's my fault.
I've been in that accident.
Technically,
it
is my fault.
Yep, and
it's
like,
son of a
bitch.
Bless her heart. She was older, and I felt terrible for her. First thing, I immediately put the car in park, and I'm like, are you okay? And she was like, I think so. I was like, well, we couldn't have been going that fast. I mean, I maybe got to 3 miles an hour because we were literally both sitting at a stop sign. So it wasn't this huge impact, but it took 25, 30 minutes to exchange information. And her car wasn't messed up. I mean, my car wasn't messed up. It was just the inconvenience of it all, but thank goodness she was okay. But then she, you know, I don't know if she was trying to scare me or not, because she was like, well, I called my son to see what I should do because he's HPD. I was like, oh boy. But she was like, I think I'm okay. My car is okay. We got tough cars. And she was like, Merry Christmas.
She had like one of those big old steel bumpered cars?
No, it was like I don't even know what it was. Just a regular ass car.
And you didn't have any damage to the front of your car?
None. And she didn't have any damage either. It was the weirdest
thing.
Fred
got in an accident yesterday. He was talking about it on the air. Yeah. Yeah, and it was the lady's fault, but she was telling him it was his fault, and his paint was on her car, but his car wasn't damaged. I go, I don't know how that happened, but okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's Fred Fowler?
Yeah.
It was definitely his fault. I don't even need to know the details. What are you talking about?
And Fred basically said he told her two words at the end and just ended it. I was like, wow, that might have been the wrong move. Yeah, I don't.
Oh, boy, I don't know about that. There's going to be an argument now.
Nick, we got to be watched out. If it's contagious, we've got two.
Happens in threes, boys. One of y'all is next.
Well, I cut his ass off really good yesterday. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I was laying on that horn.
Yeah, I was like, that's my goal at the end of every show is to cut Joel off before we get on to 59.
It's my best feeling. It's my goal to cut him off during the show.
There was a small UPS box of room between me and the other car, and here comes Nick.
Nice.
And I legitimately hit the brakes just to let him in, and then he's chuckling.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Well done.
Yeah,
that's good.
Okay, so you got a wreck. What else?
So Nora, because I'm operating on about an hour of sleep.
Oh, great. Why? Video games were going overtime?
No. Nora is, as you know, she's a nurse.
Yes.
She's on call this week. Mm-hmm. And at about... we go to bed about 10 o'clock, and I take Benadryl to help me sleep.
That's good stuff.
And at about 12:30 at night, her pager goes off. And it's not just dee-dee-dee-dee. It's like, and I did not know what was happening. So, and it was the most embarrassing thing. Thank God it was just me and her. but I just sat up out of the bed. I was like, what is that noise? I don't know what's happening right now. What do we do? And she was like, what? I'm like, I don't know what's going on right now. I'm freaking out. I'm looking at the keypad. I'm like, is this a fire or is somebody breaking in? But I didn't know what to do because I had no idea what the noise was. So I'm just going, what do we do? I don't know what's going on. She's like, you dumbass, that's my pager. I was like, oh, at least I didn't panic.
You were out of breath getting out of bed and popping up in bed?
Bro, it scared the ever-living crap out of me.
Because normally you don't wake up. You're like a heavy sleeper. Isn't that what
yes.
you said? Yeah, that's why.
So, I literally was like, I had no idea. Like, you ever woke up and you're just disoriented?
Sure, you're disoriented, yeah.
Well, I had no idea. There's just this loud noise, and I'm just sitting in the bed, and I'm looking at the alarm box because we have an alarm yeah. keypad in our room. And it's a digital keypad.
Yeah.
So I'm like looking at that to see if it's going off, and it's not. So I'm hearing the noise, but nothing's going on. It's not the smoke detector. I have no idea. I'm just freaking out. And she's just dying laughing. She goes, your face, you look like such a dumbass. She goes, you were so panicked and scared. You're just going, I don't know what to do. I was like,
it's never good when your wife's calling you out for being scared.
At least I'm cool under pressure.
Why? We live in parallel universes. Same thing happened to me. This happened to us this morning, but on the flip side.
Oh, really? You were on call for nursing?
No, so it was like 4:45, and I'm doing the feeding with Madison. So I'm watching TV, and I'm in Madison's room, and I hear like an alarm going off and like verbal commands coming out, and I go, well, she did it again. She forgot to turn the alarm off before, because we have the keypad you're talking about,
yeah.
before she opened the back door, and it'll tell you you can't unlock the door first, then turn the alarm off, because then they think something's up.
Mm.
So she's like, she comes running in. She goes, put the baby down. Something's going on out there, and I don't know what it is. And she's freaking out. I go, put the baby down. She goes, just give me Madison. So I put Madison in, like, the crib, and I'm like, my God, she was sleeping. She's probably – and I walk in there, and I go, well, it's not the pad, and the pad's not doing anything wrong. And I look, it's the damn baby monitor, and she forgot to plug it in last night to charge it when she was done. And it's basically telling you it's on its last – couple of, you know, percentages of battery.
Yeah.
I go, your dumbass monitor is going off and you didn't know what it was? And she goes, oh, well, I thought it was an emergency. And she just turns around and I go, that's it? You're not going to, I'm sorry? Or, you know, Madison's pissed off because she's in the crib. She's like, well, it happens. At least I was being careful. I'm like, no.
We've had the fire alarm go off, and since the keypad is connected, it'll be like, fire, fire.
Yes.
Call emergency, fire. That's a. But I wasn't hearing that.
Now, does yours
so
connect
no
directly
idea.
To a human? Like, if you don't
no,
respond quick enough, you'll get
yes,
someone
yes,
to call
yes,
you that
yes, yes.
on the keypad.
Yes, that'll absolutely happen. But that's what, like, it wasn't any of that stuff. That's why I was so freaked out. I had no idea what this noise was. So, like, we're wide awake now. And then I'm like, damn, I'm hungry. So she makes me a couple of eggs, and we eat. Like, this is 1-2 o'clock in the morning.
She's got to go to work, and
she's
making
go to
you
work.
Breakfast.
Why is she making you
what
food?
What is that?
Because she had to get up and take care of the call because she's on call. So then we're late. So
get out of here.
She takes care of the call. And I'm like, I'm hungry. She's like, I'm hungry. She makes me a little breakfast. We get back in bed. And eventually, the pager goes off again. She takes care of that call.
Did so you jump up again?
It's like, no, this time I was ready. But it's like 4:30 in the morning now, and we're 3:30 in the morning, so we get everything settled back down. We're laying in bed, and she just starts cackling, laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing at? She's like, you're dumbass. I'm laughing at you. She couldn't get the image of me. She's like, I don't know what to do right now. Like, who says that out loud? I was like, I really need to work on being better under pressure.
Your panicked laugh. I mean, your panicked screaming stuff is just funny in itself.
I freaked out, man. This is the second time that's happened, because the last time it happened, the fire alarm went off. And the same thing. I jumped up. She was getting ready for work. Fire alarm goes off. I'm like, what is – oh, my God. And this is when we had cats. So I was like, grab the cats. We don't have a plan. I don't know what to do. She was like, we don't have a plan. What do you do? We just go outside. What plan do we need?
First of all, my daughter's 4, and she knows stop, drop, and roll. That's the only plan you need, or else you can't get out of the house.
Listen, I am pretty cool under pressure, but just don't wake me up in a panic. Obviously, I'm not good from a dead-ass sleep to a panic, okay?
We would say that there's other times, too, but... All right. Well, that's a good way to get it going for you peeps on the show. So we'd love to hear from you throughout. The HR&P Lister line is open, 713-780-3776. Call that number or text that number. Also reach us via Twitter, @TheProducerNick, @PacManJoel with a K, at Barry is funny. We're going to take it till 4. Blitz is going to take it till 7. You keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at the Houston Rockets and the fact that right now during the holidays, you've got to have a Rockets fan on your list one way or the other, and you want to take care of them with the perfect gift. Well, I've got the solution for you. Rockets are going to have home games coming up. They've got 5-game packages going on right now for you, and you can get really good games and really good teams in those packages. And when you buy a package, you also get a gift card to the Rockets team shop. It's the best deal going because now you get tickets and you get gear and your Rockets fans are happy and you probably get to go too. And it's just, it works out for everybody and it's the season of giving and that's a gift that everybody can enjoy. You got to check it out. The Rockets team shop has so much to offer these days. You're going to find those new jerseys that they've been sporting for the city jerseys, t-shirts, jackets, hats, kids and women's apparel, novelty items, and much, much more. And for the young Rockets fan, they've got this kids club membership. It makes the perfect stocking stuffer for your young one. Memberships coming with 2 tickets to a game, lots of cool Rocket swag, and additional season-long perks for being a part of the club. What else do you need? They'll take care of it. All you got to do is go to Rockets.com for all your holiday needs. The packages, the gifts, everything there. Rockets.com, all your holiday needs. Check them out today.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back on The Usual Suspects. It is Icy B, Nick, Joel, Thursday already. Flying by this week is. Friday, and F yeah, Comedian of the Week lined up for you?
Yeah.
All right. Tell us about it.
John Wessling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's dropping his album. It dropped this week, so just like we did with Billy
D. Yep.
Wanted to, I mean, that's the whole point of F Yeah Friday from a comedian standpoint, is to highlight local talent and what we have going on in the comedy scene here in Houston. And
very nice.
Comedian's got a, you know, and he's a friend of mine and former.
Wasn't he supposed to be on 790 at the same time?
No.
No.
No, that'll never happen.
That's not happening.
You could add him to the list of AC haters.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So that immediately just makes him a friend of the show.
That's without question. Not just a friend of the show, front of the list.
That's right.
That's exactly right. And we had seen he had tweeted about his album coming out.
Yeah. So I'm gonna get 3 clips from him, and he'll be our comedian of the day. And speaking of that, along with Sigmund Bloom today at 2:30, mm-hmm. In town this weekend at the Houston Improv, Taylor Williamson is in town. You may remember he was the runner up from America's Got Talent in 2013. Also a semifinalist in Last Comic Standing. So he's going to join us today at 3:30 just to come hang out and talk a little comedy and shoot the stuff.
That's who you would make the comedian of the week. So it's cool that we get a comedian
today.
And then we get to feature another comic tomorrow.
That's right. Doubling down. Look at that.
Look at us lining guests up, moving and shaking, shaking and moving. So Rockets game last night. Anybody view it?
I just checked in once or twice. I didn't really watch this game. I didn't really care for the Cleveland game. So
I was cooking. Mm-hmm. No, I was cooking mm-hmm. and had it on in the background. Okay. And then I would look up and go, yeah, I still don't care.
No, I caught a lot of it. I just didn't care. But yeah.
I just, you know, after the game and then this morning, all I heard about was LeBronis between Giannis and LeBron as the two MVP candidates and all this other stuff. I just, as much as you can pick apart his game, a guy goes for a double nickel last night and single-handedly gets his team a win. And people just overlook it, and it's just it's in the regular season, it's stupendous what he's doing.
I don't want to get off track too much. When is it okay to start talking MVP? Because I just feel like December 11th.
It's been all year
11th,
this year.
Yeah. Well, they did that last year with Giannis. Week one, they were like, "Oh, MVP." It's like, bro, it's been a week.
Well, the debate usually starts about.
A month in?
January, February,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, no, you said that people are talking about
this year. You're right. This year it's different. Well, this year, Luka Doncic already won it in November.
My point exactly. Like last year, they already had, you know, Giannis crowned. It was
I guess it's kind of the natural course. I mean, usually you highlight players that are having spectacular seasons, and then normally those players are mentioned in the MVP race. You know, you can't ignore what Luka was doing there for a while, LeBron.
But is Luka still in the running? Is he still MVP
candidate?
I mean, he's
going to be up there, but like, you know,
Fell off already.
Scottie Pippen had to shoot down yesterday the comparisons between Luka Doncic and Michael Jordan. Really? Like, it's gotten to that level? Because if you got to do something like that, then it definitely has gone too far. And then this morning, I see Mike Greenberg and Jay Williams out there. And all they can talk about is, I mean, it's a two-horse race right now between LeBron and Giannis for the MVP. And I'm like, look, you can hate him for whatever reasons. If you want to pick on his defense or the style of play or the fact that he's got the ball in his hands dribbling too much. But the dude just dropped 55 points in a game. The offensive numbers are off the chart. No one can. And Jay Williams had just got done saying how he has reinvented how to be innovative on the offensive side of the ball and the shots that no one can defend. And yet, you, in one breath you say that, and then you say he's not even in the conversation. You have to at least give credit where credit is due.
I mean, he's in conversation for Offensive Player of the Year, but I don't think he's in the conversation for MVP.
Why?
Because there's two teams that have only lost three games, and those two stars on those
two
teams.
We don't know that is
when you talk about the best player on the planet.
Russell Westbrook 1 year didn't have a team that was in that conversation of being close to the best record in the NBA.
I'm just saying right now, when you got two guys as dominant as LeBron and Giannis on two teams that have only lost three. I mean, if you combine those two teams, they have as many losses or less losses than the Rockets.
I know that.
Rockets have lost eight. So when you talk about value.
You said Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic is getting all kinds of love in MVP talk.
He's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation. His team is about the same as the Rockets.
Yeah, Luka and Harden are both in the conversation. They're just not being highlighted as
the
front runners. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They're not.
I still say, though, it's too soon for any of this. I mean, it's not even Christmas
yet. I don't
yet.
Disagree with that. But because, look, and we all know, it's like the running joke in radio is when you get to certain times of the year when college football's over and the NBA, people aren't dialed into the NBA enough yet, then you start doing Mount Rushmores and you start doing top 10 lists. And then maybe now that the hip thing to do is to start talking MVP. But the MVP conversation has seemingly been around this entire season so far. And it's been swirling. And it's the Janet Jackson theory again. Whoever had the biggest night, except James Harden, is getting the love. Luka has a couple big nights, and suddenly it's Luka Doncic is the next Michael Jordan, and he's going to be in the MVP race. We know what Giannis and LeBron have done. But at the same time, I agree with you, it's too early. But if you're going to say it at all, you can't turn the other cheek to the fact that what Harden's doing off just numbers-wise is off the charts.
Yeah, it's without a doubt it's off the charts. I mean, it's becoming normal because the guy shot over 50% from field goal range and from three-point range. He had 55 points. He shot 100% from the free throw line, and he only shot 5 free throws when a lot of times we've criticized 20. Him saying—
Exactly. People were busting on him recently for going to the line 15, 20 times a game. He went to the line 5 times. You're absolutely right, Nick, and still got 55.
Did you see the back and forth between him and that Spurs fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spurs fans like, James, no one wants to see a free throw shooting contest. And he's like, no one wants to see fouls, damn it.
Yep.
But he used the GD.
Yep.
But it was a good point. Like, don't foul me and there won't be free throws.
Yeah. I mean, there was only 5 and he got 55 points. I mean, that's an incredible stat line, especially when you're this is something that's starting to become normal or is pretty much normal for James Harden. I mean, you can't just.
That's what I'm saying.
You start always shooting over 55% from long range and field goal range.
Well, he struggled from 3 for the year.
Right.
I think he would tell you
that. But if that becomes consistent, though, I mean, you can't ignore that. Like, that's so hard to do.
Really good from 3 is 40, right?
That's, like, outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's shooting 35%.
It's gone up. Yeah. He was in the low 30s early.
30 is respectable. 35 mm-hmm. is a good three-point shooter.
Correct.
And 40 is outstanding.
Right. Correct.
Anything below 30, and you probably shouldn't be shooting threes.
Russell Westbrook. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Westbrook's, like, at 32%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No?
It's like 22.9 this year.
Damn. Yeah, it's 23.
There you go.
That's awful.
Well, give me a tenth of a point, but I said 22.9.
That's
I was
awful.
Close without going over.
Look at you. Got his numbers memorized.
Yeah, and now.
Who's the numbers guy now, Joel?
No, now the problem is that, you know, and they're not playing fast enough for Russ. And obviously, we said from the get-go, they're going to have to do some kind of alterations to the offense so that Russ can be a part of it more, and he hasn't been. The last couple games, at least, they're playing a little bit more up-tempo. He's attacking more than he's shooting. But again, last night, you can tell it's gotten to the point where now there's the hesitation. If he's open from 3 and the ball finds him, it's not going up right away. It's, I don't want to shoot. Okay, I'll shoot it. And that doesn't help matters any. Yeah. And there's people out there telling me that he's like liking and retweeting tweets if it's anything critical of his shooting. That's when it's in his head. And that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Yeah, if you're sarcastically liking and, yes. and retweeting stuff that's being said about you, yeah, it's in your head. But I think they need to go back to the game where he outscored James, evaluate what they did there, what the differences were offensively, and try to incorporate more of that. And I think a lot of it means letting him lead the break, letting him.
Exactly what I was going to say. I talked to some of the Rockets people, and we were going back and forth, and I said, the biggest thing problem I've got is we said all along, look, if you're going to go in the half court, let James have the ball. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to go in transition, a live ball turnover or a missed shot, they are constantly, no matter if James is behind them or not, the rebounders are throwing it just to James. It's like, that's where Russ is in his freaking wheelhouse. Get it to him so he can go as fast as possible and attack the rim.
Yeah, James isn't a fast offense. He's prolific.
Yes.
But he's not fast. That's right. He's methodical is the best way to describe James Harden.
Correct.
Now, he'll get to the rim and all that. That's not what that means. But, yeah, Russ is fast. That's half of Russ's game is that he's going to blow by you to get to the rim.
You're absolutely right. The same way you can say James Harden is an all-world scorer, Russell Westbrook is one of the best players on the planet attacking the basket, on the break or otherwise. If he's playing downhill, you are in trouble. So that's what you want to do. If James has got a chance to set things up in the half court, give it to him. But other than that, especially on a transition situation, you want a guy that's all world at attacking the rim. To his credit, he's been finding open guys too. It's just on those guys to make shots. But Russ understands what he's supposed to do when he has the ball in a break situation.
Oh, yeah. No, he's prolific at it. Yeah. He really is.
He really is. I think he's the best in the world at it. So they're still in a feeling out process of trying to figure out who's going to do what and how, but they got to start figuring it out soon.
I would agree.
Because you were down most of the game to Cleveland. Let the Cavaliers go on a 24-0 run, by the way. That's not supposed to happen.
Well, defense.
That's big.
I mean, I get it that it runs, but man, you got to get some stops at some point.
You know what else you got to do? You got to get ready for the holidays.
Yeah, you do, Joseph. It is December. Holidays around the corner, guys. You're running out of time. What are you doing with yourself? What are you going to get your significant other for the holidays? If your answer isn't jewelry, you are messing up. You are making a serious boo-boo. Get that woman in your life some jewelry so she'll love you. I got my wife a ring and happy as could be. Bought me a whole year because I went all out. So here's what I want you to do. You're going to call Mark Klein at Klein's Jewelry, and they are going to hook you up for the holiday season. Not just holiday season either. A couple months ago, Lauren Pope hit me up. I was like, hey, I have this jewelry. What do I do with it? I said, you call Mark Klein, and he's going to help you make a new piece of jewelry that you're going to want. And that's exactly what she did. And they're independently owned. They've been around since 1969. They're a family business. You're not going to be paying those big department store mall prices because they have high rent and all that overhead that they have to take care of. So they upcharge you significantly on the jewelry. Not the case at Klein's Jewelry. You're going to get the best price hands down. All you got to do is call him. He will quote you his price over the phone. If rings, pendants, bracelets, earrings, watches, whatever it is, you call 832-316-1388, and Mark Klein is going to quote you your price over the phone. Shop him around. He welcomes it because he knows you're not going to beat his price or the customer service. It's that simple, guys. When I upgraded my wife's ring, I went straight to Mark Klein. He scoured the country for the exact diamond my wife was looking for. We got it done. She couldn't be happier. Your significant other is going to love you, but you got to go right now. 5868 Westheimer is the address. 5868 Westheimer. Or give him a call. I'm telling you, he'll answer the phone. He'll help you right there. 832-316-1388 or online at KleinsJewelry.com.
I hear that. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Second half hour of the show starts right now. Hopefully everybody having a good Thursday. Not as sunny today, but yet I like the crisp.
I do too. I dig it. I'm not upset with it.
38 this morning. start the morning. But then it quickly warmed up.
Not bad.
Yeah, because when I took Taylor to school, I put the beanie on. And then by the time it was time to walk the dogs, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I had, when I left the house, I had a puffy jacket on. Mm-hmm. I stopped to pump gas. I was like, what the hell? I don't need this. Because it's one of those times of year where sometimes it's colder in the house than it is outside, or at least it feels that way.
I agree.
Because we'll just turn the AC heat off. We just won't run it, right? But then you, and so it kind of feels cool in the house where you're like, ooh, it must be cold outside. And you go outside and you're like, oh, it's not that bad at all, actually. So yeah, I had to take that off real quick. Somebody texted during the last segment and they were like, hey, what are your thoughts on the fact that we're living in an age now where players cost more than new stadiums? Cole's new contract is more expensive than 17 out of the 30 MLB stadiums. Why are you looking at me?
Go ahead.
No, I'm asking you.
State the formal question again, please.
What are your thoughts on the fact that we're living in an age now where players cost more than new stadiums? Cole's contract is more expensive than 17 of the 30
MLB stadiums. Well, that means there's just a lot of old stadiums. I just think it is different. And I think the other thing that is, you always drew a line in the sand and said, look, if you were a player that played every day, that, and again, you go with what the market allows. And obviously this is a new stratosphere in terms of how much money per year guys are making in terms of what the market allows. But it was normally reserved for those big-time Mike Trout-type players that were superstars. But because the market has changed, because pitching obviously is maybe more important than it's been in 20 years, Garrett Cole, you can't be mad at him. Steven Strasburg, look, they're breaking the bank because that's what teams are offering. They're not going to just say, no, I'd rather get into a market where it used to be. They're not going to turn down the money. The agents aren't going to turn down the money. And if the teams are making enough to which that's affordable, then more power to them.
Yeah, and so real quickly, I Googled two things. Okay. One, how much did the Astrodome cost to build? You want to take a gander?
$61 million.
$35 million. So if they were still playing there, people would be like, well, this is just ridiculous.
Well, but you know the funny thing is they still haven't paid it off.
These people are making more than it costs to build this stadium. So I took it a step further and Googled all of the – do you know how much Wrigley Field cost to build? $250,000. So I think the argument is a little skewed to your point about them being some old stadiums.
Yeah.
Fenway cost $650,000.
Before all the upgrades,
you can't compare
what
a guy gets in 2019 dollars to a stadium that was built in 66 or whenever the Astrodome was built. It's just not it's not comparable. How much did the new ballpark that the Rangers built that's like a baby Minute Maid, how much did that cost?
Well, that's close to, I think it's close to a bill.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's
hundreds of millions of dollars.
People are trying to use it, and the only people making this argument are scorned Astros fans. That's all.
But there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
There certainly is.
There's a lot of Astros fans with their pee-pee hurt.
Yep.
But listen, it's a business. It's baseball, and that's life.
Well, here's the other thing they got to remember, too. You're not going to stay on top forever. You had a window there of 3 years where you made a hell of a run. Unfortunately, you weren't the Buffalo Bills, but you were more like the Atlanta Braves. You had a lot of appearances and only ended up with one title, but it was better than most. But it's not going to last forever. And the same way that you enjoyed it when you were on top, you got to realize you're going to start coming down. Teams are going to be on the way up. Yankees did what they had to do. If you can't beat them, you sign them. And that's what they did. They signed one of your two best pitchers. And now you've got to try and react and counter that. In your own division, yeah, you knew the A's were a team that were always going to be pesky, but now you've got a team with open pocketbooks that's flowing in money, that's trying to make a difference and trying to get their fan base back. So they have the best player in the game. They add one of the best hitters in the game at third base. Now they're in the conversation to try and get pitching with either Mad Bum or Ryu from the Dodgers or Dallas Keuchel, and you're going to have to deal with it because you have your own financial woes to consider. That's why they talked that Correa was in rumors. That's why you've got guys that have proven how good they are, and they're going to try and get their value because just like we just got done saying, there's a market, there's a value. And you shouldn't be mad at a George Springer or someone to get paid, but if you can't afford it, then you got to deal with it.
I always say this when people talk about pay. If you were the best at your company at what you do, or you were the best in your business, and I don't care what it is, you're the best accountant, you're the best delivery person, the best truck driver, it doesn't matter. You're going to want to be paid more than anybody else. And Garrett Cole is the best pitcher in baseball right now.
So he wanted to get paid.
And I mean, no, if someone came to you, let's say you're making $50,000 a year and you're a truck driver. I don't know what they make. I don't know how that works. But then someone comes in and goes, you know what? You're the best truck driver we've ever had. You're always on time. You're early. You don't have an accident. We want to give you 200K. You're not gonna be like, well, you know, these other guys, they make it 200K. That's ridiculous. That's more than you know. No, just give me 55. You're gonna get the maximum amount. So why begrudge an athlete for the same thing? Right. It doesn't make any sense. They just make more. That's it.
I guess that I would hope some of them are not mad at the money, but they're mad at the fact that, you know, he's just leaving, and then they're just using that. And it's just a cheap reason to get mad at somebody. I know one person that doesn't care is Scott Boras, because he's getting fantastic. Like, he's probably going to get commission checks when he's dead. Well, his 10-year contracts that he keeps signing.
So the bench, John and Lance were talking about this morning, and John said Boras is already, you know, responsible for $815 million. I said, no. And I texted Lance, and I said, he's close to $900 million, and he's going to keep going. And Lance read that, and Granada goes, yeah, no, it's 815. No, you forget that he had Mike Moustakas, too. So Mike Moustakas and his 65, 75 mil for 3 years brought the entire total up to almost 800, I think 878 mil. And now, that's just from the last couple days. He's got Ryu, he's got Keuchel, he's got Nick Castellanos. All three of those guys are going to command at least 10 a year. So guess what? He's going to break, in terms of agent numbers, you're right. He is rolling in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's 5% or 10% or whatever his deal is to
at
get,
5%,
whatever they sign.
That's over $40 million in just commission at 5%. Just from the deals that you were talking about over the past few days.
That's crazy, right?
That is ridiculous.
I would quit. I'm not lying. I would be like, you know what?
Where do you find the motivation after you get 43 million? But you know,
in 1 year.
I think that, I would be I like, think, you know what I think it is?
Bleep all this. I'm done.
It's the competitive nature of negotiation.
But I was going to say that has to be super stressful.
It can be, because you're trying to appease your client. You're trying to, you know, you got a financial stake in it.
Well, and you don't want to piss the team off too much, because
you need them.
You need them every time you got a new player that might want to negotiate, and they're a free agent player. And so it's a fine line, and that's a stress that I would not want. But yeah, I would take my 40 mil and go.
I would imagine the stress that comes along with negotiating Gerrit Cole is smaller than
a mid level. Yeah,
because the leverage is all with Gerrit Cole to begin with, and it's not like he's going to throw a number out there. But you said it, I think yesterday, Barry, that when another pitcher gets paid a certain amount, and his deals gets done before Gerrit Cole, Gerrit Cole is just going to get a bigger number. And that's exactly what happened.
It's just like the quarterback wars in football. You know, Matthew Stafford at one point was the highest paid quarterback in football. Don't get mad at him. It's just his contract came up at the right time.
Joe Flacco was too. I never liked Flacco, and he was the highest paid quarterback.
He spoke highly of you. He thought you were a pretty good dude.
Yeah.
And then Rendon signs with the Angels. His $245 million that you mentioned, that's a 7-year deal. So
that's a Boras guy. Yeah, I said that.
But
you know what's remarkable to me on that, though?
What?
He got no trade.
He got no trade clause?
No trade, no outs. So it's just, that's lock solid, guaranteed 30-some million a year for him.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a deal for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that's not he's not a great hitter. That's got the tendencies to be a Pujols deal.
And some teams are going to not want to go with a no trade clause, you know?
And not want to go that many years.
Yeah. For a guy that's 29, I mean, he's right now physically at his prime. But that means by the end of the contract.
It's like you said about Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
I mean, to go 9 years on Gerrit Cole.
I would have never done that.
Man,
that's
a big risk.
I don't mind paying the money, but that was stupid to go 9 years on a pitcher.
They talk about pitchers losing their fastball later in their careers, literally instead of figuratively, because it's an expression how he's lost his fastball. He's a little slower, not as good as he once was. In baseball, if Gerrit Cole loses his fastball, it's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah. For sure.
So that's
When we get back from the break, good news, bad news on Carlos Correa.
All right.
Want to talk that?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, we'll get to that and a whole lot more. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. I made the switch about 3 years ago, just renewed with them because they have saved me thousands over my previous energy provider, and I could not be happier. So much so that when the suspects hit me up and I hooked them up with Josh Pesikoff and his staff at Infuse, they've been happy too. P. Randizzle was the latest one to switch. He was even tweeting about how great they've taken care of him, how much money he saved. They can do the same thing for you. Check them out at InfuseEnergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8777. 9732. Right off the top, if you mention ESPN 97.5, they're going to tell you they're going to give you a $25 bill credit on your first bill just for listening to us and calling them. It's just the way they do business. They're going to be communicative, they're going to be friendly, and they're going to be honest. And that means that in the rare occasions there's another company out there that can beat their prices, they're going to let you know. Because you may not go with them this time, but you'll get with them at some point and make a deal because you know that you want someone you can trust when you do business, and that's exactly what they are. Simply put, they're affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. And yes, they use green energy concepts, so you can get 100% green energy right at your fingertips. It's sign up, choose a green plan, offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, so you're doing something to give back as well as saving at where you need to save. 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. Check them out. Tell them I sent you by. Infuse energy into your life.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be on this Thursday in Houston as you roll into your weekend. Hopefully you'll make us a part of it today, tomorrow, 1 to 4 p.m. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. ICB joined us early. But since the beanie's off, we'll...
Now I'm just back to Barry.
Just Barry.
Well, it's warm now. I don't need it anymore. It was freaking cold in here earlier.
Well, Charlie had it, and like, yeah. Just because he wanted to show off the sweater, he had it like at 33 degrees in here.
Pretty nipply. Not anymore. All right, so big rumors going around. Obviously, we talked about yesterday with Carlos Correa, and overnight, mm-hmm. It surfaced that the Mets were said to have engaged with the Astros and had dialogue about Correa. Okay. And people were like, uh-oh. So that means it's gaining momentum. Well, one source came out and said, nah, it's more of a fantasy baseball discussion than reality. All right? Well, Brian McTaggart tweeted out on Correa. Jeff Luhnow said, surprised if we moved any of our core players. He said Correa called and asked about the trade rumors. Luhnow told him, enjoy your honeymoon and don't worry. Now, I don't know if Jeff Luhnow is, you know, if he's got some Daryl Morey in him or not.
Where I was going with that one. But, heard that before.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know.
Said Chris Paul, who's in Oklahoma City.
Well, that was the thing that worried me a little bit, is if you do think that Correa is your long-term solution at shortstop, then these trade rumors are the worst thing that could happen because it's only going to make him a little bit saltier towards the organization. Sure. Also, I feel like, you know, the injury thing, you know, all those reasons that you would look at moving Correa make sense. You free up the money for George Springer. You can't afford to have both. But you still don't want, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Springer may say, you know what, I'm not going to sign an extension. I'm going to test the free agent market, and I'm going to go see what I can get elsewhere. And now you're in a bidding war, and you may not win. So if that's the case, your backup is to keep Carlos Correa, at least as long as possible. So you got to be careful how you deal with Correa, and I think that's why Luno's reacting that way.
You have to, and it's one thing if you talk to the player first and say, hey, look, we're not going to trade you. It's another. It's a more difficult conversation if they call you and say, hey, are you trading me? Because now you don't want to hurt their feelings, but you also can't be honest with them.
Yeah.
If you've already had discussions. And so that makes it a little bit tedious. The other thing is, too, when you're looking at it, look, the Springer situation, that's why they had to give him a nice chunk of change earlier than he was eligible to get it, because they knew going in they had pissed him off so much by keeping him back in the minors so that they could keep team control longer that they knew he was gone unless they did something early. They did the same thing with Bregman. They gave him 20 a year for 5 years because of the fact that they knew that the reputation was out there, that they were going to hold you back as long as possible, and then from a Luhnow standpoint, it's just smart business. I don't want him mad. I don't want a situation. Because here's the thing in the Gerrit Cole discussions. You can't do anything about it if he's just been a lifelong Yankee fan and his dream was to play for the Yankees, and now he's got all the money on the table from 3 different options, 4 different options, and it's his choice. can't fault the man for choosing his favorite team that he's always wanted to play for. Sometimes you lose out that way, but you don't want that to be a negative that you lost out because the team had screwed you over for years trying to save money.
Astros didn't lose out on Cole because he's a Yankees fan.
I get that, but let me just tell you something. From the people that I talked to, they said that he, as much as he tried to downplay it when he was an Astro and that picture surfaced and everything like that, there was a lot of truth to the fact that he's always wanted to play for the Yankees. So if all things are being considered and the money's the same and you get a chance to play for a team that you've always been a fan of.
But the money wasn't the same. That's my point.
No one went over what the Yankees offered.
Huh?
No one went over what the Yankees offered.
That's my point. No, the money wasn't the same. No one could offer. The Astros didn't lose Cole because they offered him the same amount and he's a Yankees fan. They couldn't offer him the same amount.
But we don't know how close it was to where he could have had his choice of any place to go. Barry, at some point, you're not going to just say...
I promise you it wasn't close.
Okay.
You think that the Astros, in the position they're in, with their highest...
Talking about the Dodgers, talking about the Angels.
With their highest payroll ever.
Talking about the Dodgers and the Angels. Dodgers have money coming out of their nostrils. Angels are trying to make a splash. They said they were all in on Gerrit Cole.
I literally just said, though, that the Astros didn't lose Cole... because he's a Yankees fan.
But I'm saying...
they lost because they couldn't compete with the money.
I'm saying, you already are behind... sometimes you can be behind the eight ball in the fact that he wants out, he wants to go somewhere else. What you don't want in a negotiation is to say, hey, look, all things considered, if I've got a choice, you screwed me for so many years, I'm just getting away from you. Because that's what they said they were dealing with Springer, was that whether it was the Red Sox or somebody else, he just wasn't coming back because they held him back.
I heard all that. What I'm saying is, in the specific instance of Gerrit Cole, which we were using as a reference as a Yankees fan...
I use that as a different point of reference to say you can also go up against that, too.
Okay. My point is that I don't think fandom in the age of $345 million, that's not going to be the only reason, because you got to consider, too, things like state income tax. I mean, trust me, being a fan of the team is probably important, but it's probably ninth or tenth on the list of reasons why you would choose one team over the other. I don't think any player is just going to go, well, I was always a fan. I mean, if that were the case, Rendon would be an Astro, right?
No, because they have to be interested, and they didn't meet with Rendon because they knew they couldn't. Because you're the one that had been saying that all along. Because with the contracts they already have to deal with, they couldn't meet with him. So don't lead him on and meet with him.
My point is that guys don't take less money just because they're fans of the team.
But look, Gerrit Cole's a Southern California guy, too. If he wanted to, regardless of what the state tax was, if he was saying, look, for the rest of my career, I don't want to deal with the media circus and everything that New York brings as a sideshow to just play for the Yankees. Not with the Angels. With the Dodgers, yes. With the Angels, not unless they really turned it around. Mike Trout doesn't get it. He loves playing there because he said in interviews and things like that, it's easier than playing in Philly. Playing in Anaheim.
Oh, anywhere is easier than playing in Philly.
New York isn't. New York are vultures. Teixeira was on ESPN the other day going, man, you better turn your phone off. You better stop doing social media. You better not stop worrying about the questions you're going to get on a nightly basis, because in New York, people don't care, and they're going at you hard every night.
Oh, yeah. No, they're relentless. I don't know. It'd be a toss-up between Philly
and New
York. It's
like Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton's not made for New York.
Oh, but, gosh.
So if Charlie Morton had a choice, Charlie Morton's going to go
Gerrit Cole is absolutely – I mean, you saw the way he handled the media down here. You saw, I mean,
he kind of had an FU towards the media the way he handled it at the end.
Well, that last one. But I'm saying up until then, he was very complimentary of his team. And even when he was getting tough questions. But yeah, at the end, he was like, hey, I'm a free agent. I don't have to go up there and talk. And I will, but I'm going to do it as an independent, not as an Astro. And that was Gerrit Cole basically saying, look, you guys don't intimidate me. I'm going to do what I do.
So Kawhi goes back to Toronto last night, brings up an interesting proposition. When Gerrit Cole comes back with the Yankees this year. Cheer or boo?
Booing. Booing my ass off. He's the enemy now.
He's not Charlie Morton either, because he didn't finish the deal. So.
You know why I boo? Because he's the enemy.
Okay.
And now their World Series has an asterisk, so it doesn't count.
Cheering or booing, Nick?
I think it's okay for fans to boo that situation. Not the entire time. Not every time he comes back, but maybe, you know, the first time he played.
If he didn't do what we were talking about at the end, I'd have cheered him. But the way he did it with the Boris hat, and I don't work for anybody now, and I don't have to talk to anybody after the game, I didn't like all that. That rubbed me the wrong way. So I understand the booing. But, you know, if you want to chime in, you can. That's 1 hour in the book. Still 2 hours to go of the show. Plenty more to get to. If you want to get something off your chest you've had on your mind, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. 97.5.